Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you. Getaway Friday, August the 11th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. And we're all reassembled here, first time in a month. So we're so glad to be back together, the actual Friday night group. Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson. And we've really sorted out all our problems. Now, there were a few... Matt's got a problem with Abby, but that's all going to come to a head next week over titles and formal names and so on and so forth. And Sean, you've had your problems over the and Carrington dissed me in the break room, and so we've worked all this out now, and we're all fine, and we're all good, and we're all friendly again, and we can go forth, right?
Oh yeah.
The title thing really carried on though in the break. It just kept going and going and going. I don't know why this is a thing. Honest to goodness, I don't know. Call somebody whatever they want to be called, you know? Whatever. Yeah, I know. Save it for next week. Okay, let's go to a new topic here to start this off. Oh, Harding in the newspaper. We're going to talk a little bit about this. Yeah, this was big for us because on Harding, the 100th anniversary of President Harding's death, we had... Jim Blessing on, an exclusive interview. I had Jim Blessing on, who's the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. And there was nothing in the Marion Star that day about the 100th anniversary of the death of Warren G. Harding. And, of course, Warren G. Harding started the Marion Star, so Jim really tore him a new one in that interview about that. And 7 days later, there was something in the Marion Star, which falls under the category of better late than never, about the death of President Harding. And, Matt, what did you say to me when you saw that in the Marion Star?
I said, hey, Scott. Look at this. You think we had something to do with it?
And I think we did, because I think the grandson tore him a new one on the air, and I think they got word of that, and, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, I honestly agreed with the grandson in that situation. Warren G. Harding, like, basically built the Marion Star, and they did nothing for him.
Nothing on his 100, the centennial of his death. Don't you think, Carrington, that they should have?
I agree. That's really sad, especially since, you know, he's president and whatnot in the past. It's like people would know him. People would remember him. Something fun to talk about.
Now, Sean, you had the rather outspoken opinion on President Harding the last few weeks. So you don't feel we should revere this man at all. He should not have a statue. We don't like him at all. Right? I mean, right. That's been your stance the last few weeks. We've went wall to wall with this. So for people who might not have tuned in during that, why?
Because the main...
Should he have been in the paper 7 days later?
7 days later?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they shouldn't even run it at all.
They should have left it out.
They just left it out.
Just not even put him in there at all.
Yeah.
Because?
Because this is a waste of time at that point anyway. It was already over.
If they put it on his date, would it have been okay? Date of his death?
It probably wouldn't do any good. I mean, he was not a good president at all.
I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think we're talking about the fact that he was a president, not whether he was good
I'm
or
just
not.
I don't know, though.
Okay, so why wasn't he a good president?
I mean, he had a lot of affairs. I mean, I ain't saying...
Affairs.
Yeah.
Now, see, we're coming back to this. Does a man's personal peccadilloes in life reflect his job?
I think it did.
Matt would never call him Mr. Harding or President Harding because of this, but he did his thing.
I mean, I'd probably refer to him as, like, President Harding.
Your mic has gone straight up and down there. It's like an exclamation point. There we go. You call him Mr. Harding.
I'd call him President Harding.
Why would you call him President Harding? The man has been with, you know, several people.
Because he was, in fact...
With other people?
President.
Well, isn't that a title,
though? United States.
But that's a title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't talk to Warren G. Harding.
He was here! You were here when he was here.
Yeah, but that's not, like, an everyday thing.
Darn right. He got up out the grave and he came over here for me on his birthday. Yeah, on his death date.
That was my first time meeting the man.
Were you impressed?
Yeah, I was.
Were you impressed that Warren Harding was in the studio with us?
Did you say Mr. President? Or did you say Harding when you talked to him?
I honestly can't remember.
You were dazzled the fact that he was here. Having been dead 100 years, you said, man, for him to come in for this, big deal.
Yeah, you went to the bathroom before the show started, and I looked at him. He said, how are you doing? I said, pretty good. I said, how about you? He said, pretty good, seeing as I'm supposed to be dead tonight.
Trippy, right? Trippy. So, but the point, you would call him President Harding because he was the president, even though he might not have had the best personal life.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't think he should be acknowledged at all?
No. No statues, no nothing.
I think he was a pretty good president.
Why do you think he was a good president?
I mean, based off of what President Harding himself was telling us, he basically killed himself by overworking. He did a lot of things that he could have just delegated to secretaries. He was literally sick on the journey of understanding, and he gave like 80 some odd speeches on the trip of understanding. He organized the radios like organized the radio stations. He organized the roadways. He actually wanted to keep Alaska as a territory to preserve its natural resources because...
Well, look at you. You paid attention that day.
I did, yeah. Because he didn't want people to just go into Alaska, steal all of its natural resources, and then leave Alaska.
Well, yeah. It's very good. So go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, he might have been a better president if he wasn't running after a little 14-year-old girl.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, in those...
My more on... the office instead of fringe benefits.
We're not saying that going after 14-year-old girls is a good idea. I don't think she was 14 when he had the affair with her, though. I think they met when she was 14, but I don't think the affair happened when she was 14.
Well, you know, that's one thing in society. If you're a little bit famous or you got money or something like that, and you would do an indiscretion like that, It's all right, you know. Most people, to the public, it's all right.
I don't think we're saying it's all right.
But
I think
you're just a regular 40-year-old guy, you know, kind of homely, blah, 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 and you know, now they won't kill you.
No, we're not. Yeah, we're not saying
there's a double standard there. Sometimes I don't see how you know a lot of these movie stars and stuff get by with, you know. Ask President Trump, he'll tell you he gets by with that stuff.
Well, but we're not saying that it's okay to do that stuff. What we're saying is the whole list of accomplishments that Matt listed off there are different than the man's personal life. Can you have a successful professional life and have a not-so-great personal life? Can you separate the man from his job, his performance?
Yeah, ultimately, he wasn't that bad president. There's a lot of things he did that was for good, though.
Well, it's an interesting debate. Hey, I thank you for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are always open, 740-383-9944. Well, we haven't heard from you, Carrington, on this. We've heard from everybody else over and over again on this one. Do you think a man's private life should factor into how we look at him overall?
I don't think it has to necessarily, but I guess if it bleeds into his professional life, it's like that's the consequences of your actions, kind of, if that
but
makes sense.
Do we look at somebody and say, well, you know, they were a good president, but they had an affair? Does that go into the grand scheme of things of that person?
Yeah, it's probably something people remember about them just because it's significant. The only thing I really remember about President Harding is he had the whole Ohio gang and was like hiring his friends to be in office, which also doesn't sound great. So it sounds like it's kind of, he made a few poor choices that kind of led into him being remembered negatively.
But should we remember him? There's only been 46 presidents and there's one from this city.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool that we have a president from here. And like, I still think that it's cool that we have, you know, his house here and the Harding Memorial and stuff because he did do a lot.
Doesn't everybody have their flaws, though? Isn't this what we should pay attention to in life? Everybody's got their flaws. Everybody's got their shortcomings.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think judging it is a bad thing. I think, you know, unless thee want to be judged, I don't know that we should be judging others.
I mean, it's a little different if your flaw is, you know, arson or, you know, cheating off of somebody's test at school. Those are a little bit different.
Well, where do you rank them? I mean, obviously arson is bigger than cheating off somebody's test, but I mean, how do you rank things that people do? Some people might take them more personal than others, depending on what the misdoing is.
That's true. I think this is where the whole legal system comes in, and I feel like I don't know enough about it.
But it's not illegal to have an affair, but his wife might not be happy with it. But it's not illegal.
Yeah, I mean, the affair didn't get him fired or anything.
No.
He died in office.
He died.
Which, I mean, I agree, but, like, if the whole country is like, oh, I hate that guy because he had an affair, that's their opinion to have.
Right, but I guess should that factor in, though, to, can you keep a personal and a private life separate? You know, I think about this with a lot of, I think about this with Bill Cosby now. Now, Bill Cosby obviously has been accused of doing some very horrible things. But he also did good things. You cannot deny that he employed a lot of African-American people who would not have been employed. He had a number one television show. His stand-up shows were always sold out. He never used profanity in them. He did help people's careers. He did donate money to a lot of colleges that gave people scholarships that never would have had them. You can't say those things didn't happen. Yes, he did do awful things. But does that erase the good things?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I feel like it's really situational, though, because if he was also a secret serial killer, I feel like everyone would remember that, you know?
You know, I think there was a TV show years ago, so I'm not, but I'm sure this is probably based on somewhat reality. They were building, a grandfather of this young girl had died. The grandfather died. And he donated a bunch of money to a school that she was attending, a private girls' school. So they were building a library, and they were going to name it after him because he donated all this money, and she was very proud of it, blah, 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 blah. Well, somebody was doing a school history of him because he donated all this money to build the library. Come to find out, he'd been a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And the granddaughter didn't know this. So she's horrified all of a sudden, and she can't go to her grandfather. He's dead. So she doesn't want the library to be built. She doesn't want it to be named after him because she doesn't want anything to do with him now. And she's conflicted. And a woman goes to her, and it was a great show, and I wish I could remember which show it was, but the line that the woman says is, he was a flawed man, but it's okay that you loved him because he also was the guy who stayed up when you had the chicken pox. He also was the guy who bought you your first bicycle. He also was the guy who you know, helped you when your knee got all scraped up. It's okay that you loved him. Understand he did do this horrible thing, but you loved him. Yes, there's a conflict, but that's life.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you're not going to hate them now just because you find out this information after. You hate what they did and what they were a part of, but you're right. I mean, you still know the person that you know.
Right, and I think that's hard. I think people who knew President Harding probably think he was a great man. And people, when he was elected, it helped Marion a lot. We were a small city then. But, yeah, he did do some things that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, like have two affairs.
Okay.
At the same time.
What do you think, Matt? We're not moving anywhere on that.
I think that you can't take what he did in his personal life and throw it in with his presidency because it didn't affect his presidency. He was doing like the same thing at like anyways.
It's an interesting thing, and we've talked a lot about Harding in the last few weeks. And you know, the memorial's there, the school's there, the home's there, and enjoy it if you want to go. And I guess if you don't want to go, don't go. But
remember, he's not from Marion.
That's true. It's from Blooming Grove, which is over by Ontario. Now, we did have an interesting conversation that I am interested to get the female perspective on this one, because I don't think we've had a female on to get this perspective. Remember the conversation we had? It was in the, gosh, I wish I still had the article, but it was the two actors, I don't even remember who they are, Scenes from a Marriage. Have you ever seen Scenes from a Marriage?
I have not.
Okay. So the show Scenes from a Marriage, there are two actors in it who were friends when they started making this, I think it was a mini-series or something. So they made the mini-series, and when it was over, the female actress said, I can no longer be your friend. The friendship will never be the same, because they'd had to play such intense roles as husband and wife and love and hate that they could no longer be friends. They needed a break from each other, the woman said. But it led to the conversation, is there such a thing as an emotional affair? Because we don't think these people had a physical affair, but is there such a thing as an emotional affair? That was the big topic last week. Yeah. Well, just what did Carrington think on that for a second? What was your opinion on that, Matt, for people who weren't listening?
I don't think you can have an emotional affair, because an affair, like, classifies as, like, a physical relation.
By definition, in the dictionary, I think we looked it up last week, yep. An affair is physical.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, I think you felt differently about this.
I do. Dictionary was written by man. And, you know...
Or a woman.
Or a woman. Who knows? Webster or whatever.
Merriam-Webster. Yes. She was a nice lady. I used to call her Mrs. Webster.
Oh, did you?
I did. She was my librarian.
Yeah. But yes, you can have multiple different kind of affairs, I believe.
But what's an emotional affair?
Well, I mean, a lot of times emotional is like is when you're thinking about thoughts. I don't want to say it on the air, but you're thinking about...
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, you're thinking about thoughts that you are attracted to the other person.
Yeah, but this all came back to, can you have a male who's a friend? Can you have a female who's a friend when you're married? What do you think, Carrington?
I think that you can have male and female friends. I think that scenario is different. I mean, they had to pretend like they were married on a show and, you know, fight and intimate things and whatever. So I could see where she might want to break after that. I've never been an actor, so I guess I don't know the emotional toll that it would take. But I could see it.
But what is an emotional affair? I guess that we went up to the 10 o'clock hour with that last week. I don't understand, I guess, what that even implies, because if I am friends with a girl, okay, and we go out and have lunch, all it is lunch. We're talking about, you know, what are you doing? What's new with you? You should really try this out. You should try this out. It's a conversation that you would have anywhere. Like, you would have it at work. You know, it's nothing big.
I think that the things that we were being, like explained to us by Pastor Craig and Sean, that it just sounded like a best friend. Sounded like somebody you were really close friends with.
But you can't have a best friend who's the opposite sex.
Apparently, because that sounds like an emotion, because that fits along the lines of an emotional affair, according to them.
And everybody can have their own opinion on this. I'm just saying, I don't understand it.
No, well, let me rephrase that. Okay. When you have a best friend, okay, you can have a best friend when you have an opposite sex, but you got to be careful what you tell that person. If you keep going back and forth and tell all your problems back and forth, like Craig was saying, Pastor Craig, that causes issues.
But if you don't like that person anymore,
you're crossing the line.
Yeah, but if you don't like them, which I think we did discuss this finally off the air, I think if you don't like them as any more than a friend, male or female, I don't think it matters, because you're not going to do anything.
But you don't know the other person's emotions.
Well,
and what their ideas are.
Put your hand in their face and keep them over there. That's all you have. I don't understand that, I guess. I really don't, because if you have no feelings for that person beyond a friendship, what's the deal?
I think I agree that an emotional affair is a real thing. I think it would be, you know, you've never been in love before, have you, Scott? Sorry, I know, way off. Have you, though? We've talked about the whole how you accidentally got engaged and, like, that slippery slope. So yes or no, though.
What's the question?
If you've ever been in love.
What is love?
Oh my gosh.
No, seriously, what is love?
This is too philosophical.
No, tell me, honestly, what is love?
You can't define love. It's too philosophical. I think it's just a feeling, probably, inside, like...
Yeah, I've had feelings inside. Yeah. I don't know. But no, okay.
Anyways, back to my point. I think that, you know, an emotional affair, you feel super emotionally invested in somebody that's not your significant other.
Yeah.
Emotionally invested and being in love, I think, are two different things. I can be emotionally invested in somebody who's having a rough time, but it doesn't mean I love them.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, the person that you're dating knows how they feel about the other person. So if you're dating somebody, I guess it's your responsibility for the two of you to come together and decide what's okay and what's okay or what's not okay with, like, the opposite gender. And then beyond that, you know, you base the situations off of what you guys agreed upon.
It's very interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Sean. Hello, Carrington. This is Craig. And hello, Matt. This is Pastor
Mr. Morgan to you, Pastor.
Yeah, and by the way, Matt, you know, I don't want you to feel too left out. So when you get to know me better, then you don't have to call me Pastor Craig. You can just call me Mr. Heilman.
There you go. There you go. Pastor, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to fill Carrington in a little bit on what she might have missed the last few weeks. And it's not that Scott has never been in love, because I do think that Scott has been in love, but the problem is Scott has an extreme fear of marriage.
Pastor, this is not true. we've been down there. You know, okay. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to set the record straight.
Oh, that is, I've been in love. I just have a fear of marriage.
Yes.
Okay.
You do that.
I'm going to address this, but I appreciate that.
Oh, all right. Hey, don't forget, you got to get to the top 10 list.
Yeah. I do. Yes, thank you. I do have to get to the top 10 list. Thanks, Pastor.
All right.
Bye-bye. No, I have to clear this up, because this whole fear of marriage thing is starting to follow me around like the plague, and I don't like it. So here's the thing. Listen, I don't have a fear of marriage, because there was a point in my life. Did I not tell this story this morning?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, so I'll do it again. This morning, there was a girl one time who I was around that for like 15 minutes, I thought I wanted to marry her. And I thought, she's marrying material. I could marry her. I could do that. Came to my senses 15 minutes later and realized that would be a horrible mistake. But I clearly don't have a fear, because I did think I wanted to marry her for 15 minutes. And when it passed, it passed. What I have is a non-interest in marriage. I don't think it's important. I don't think that I need to be married. It's not going to change anything in my life. And that's that. But that's not a fear.
Okay, that's fine. I was just wondering if you'd ever been in love, because I was going to say, you know, if you're dating somebody or you're with somebody and you feel like love toward, you know, somebody else, I feel like that could be an example of an emotional affair.
But if you feel love toward somebody who's not your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, I think there's a problem.
Yeah.
You probably should get out of that.
They're probably having an emotional affair, is what I was saying.
Right, but I think until you act on it, you can't use the word affair. I think you can say you have emotional feelings for somebody. You have a thing for somebody. I've heard people say that, but I don't think it's an affair until you actually act on it.
Yeah, but I feel like that just mitigates what it is, because that would hurt really bad if you were with somebody to find out, you know, they had all of these feelings for somebody else the whole time you were together. Like saying, you know, oh, they just had a thing on the side. That mitigates it.
You know, though, but do you get sad when things end, relationships end?
Yeah.
How many have you been in?
Four.
Four. Okay, you've been in four relationships, and have you always been the one that ended them?
No.
I've
been in both positions.
So you've been dumped?
Yes.
Okay, so when you were dumped, how did you feel?
Really sad.
Sad. See, here's the thing. When the relationships have ended with me, I'm kind of happy at that moment, because I feel that I don't have to, you know, be around them anymore. And I feel like, hey, that's somebody else's headache. Now, but you get sad.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sad normally when
Matt,
that happens.
When your thing ended, your one thing, when it went belly up, how do you feel?
Oh, it was good.
You were fine.
It was good.
Yeah, you were glad it was over.
Absolutely, I didn't have to deal with it.
No anymore. More heavy lifting. Exactly.
No more questions.
Sean, when something's over?
Yep, it's over.
Like when my good friend Larry King said to me one time, when the train gets to the last stop, you get off. And that's how I kind of feel about relationships. When that train pulls into the last stop, get off. But goodbye.
I want my friend Sarah out there to call in and give us her opinion.
Yes, Sarah, if you're out there, let us know. 740-383-9944. Yeah, I think when it's over, it's over. Don't look back on the good times. You don't hate the person. You don't dislike the person. It's just over.
That's just a little sad. You know, you're not going to miss them. You're not thinking about them.
No.
Like, you don't wish they were around.
No.
I feel like you guys have a lack of emotional connections with others.
Wish they were around.
You guys are, like, lacking a lot. You don't want that? You don't like somebody?
You
want
to see somebody who you used to be in a relationship with?
No. Like, if it ends, you're not, like, sad. They're not going to be around. You're not going to miss the times that you had together.
You know, probably the times weren't all that great. That's why it's over. Go ahead, caller.
Never fear, Sarah's here.
Go ahead, Sarah. What's on your mind?
Hello, Sarah.
How you doing, Sean?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Babysitting. Tonight I'm at the dog park.
Dog park?
You're listening to us in the dog park.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. I'm glad we're playing in the dog park tonight.
Well, on my phone.
Oh, so what are you taking from this whole show tonight?
I just tuned in, but relationships. I've never been lucky in love. I got nothing.
But I mean, what is love? I mean, really, isn't that kind of a phony baloney term?
I mean, I know, like, a handful of people that have been in, like, lifelong relationships, but as a general rule, I mean, that's the exception to the rule.
Well, aren't you? I mean, even the term itself is bad. Fall in love. That's like fall and break your leg. Fall and hurt yourself.
Okay, so back in the day, I heard a preacher preach on that, and he said that, you know, that's kind of like a man-made idea, falling in love. But, like, going from, like, the spiritual aspect of it, there's many times when God commands us to love someone. But, anyway, I don't know. I mean, it's just... I guess when you find that right person, I just never found that right person.
You know, I don't like the terms, as I've said, they're the one. I've never met anybody like you before. You know, that seems to me a little...
Well, of course they're going to lay it on thick in the beginning, you know.
Seems to me a little bit androgynous.
I mean, it's all about temptation, because, I mean, even good-looking people get cheated on. Like, you know... Steak is good. Like, I love steak, but I don't know if I'd want it every night of the week, you know? But it's like, when you're in that relationship, I mean, you just have to understand that you will be tempted, and how are you going to handle it when it happens?
Right. Right. I think that's the bottom line. You got to deal with temptation. Go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to know that going into it and be strong and all that good stuff.
If you're Taylor Swift, write a song, make another gazillion dollars off of it.
Taylor Swift. On that note, I'm out of here. Bye,
Thank you, Sarah. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that's fairly interesting. I just don't know. I think love is a little bit phony, but God bless everybody who wants to be in love, and I think that's nice. But for me, you know, people are, you know, after a while, people are like fish. After like 2 or 3 years, they stink, and you're a little tired of them. You know, people get boring, don't you think?
Maybe you haven't found the right person.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to find. Well, that was an interesting, because Matt and I know a guy. We don't want to say his name on the air because it's currently a thing going on. But he came to us one day and said he's going to propose to a girl. And immediately we thought, you know, that's like being on the edge of Mount Everest. You're about to fall off. You're about to make a mistake, friend. And he's going to go buy the ring and propose to this girl. And we said to him, don't do this. It's a bad idea. And he said those fateful words. What were they?
She's the one.
She's the one. And once you hear those words, listen, close down, shut the shop down, because you ain't getting through to him anymore. She's the one.
Getting through to him. That's such a sad term. I bet he's really happy.
They've been together for...
Not even a year.
Under a year. And they have never even lived together.
No.
They can make their own decision. Like, I'm not saying everybody's the best judge of determining when to take that next step, but...
If somebody came to you and said, Carrington, you're the one, would you really buy that line?
I would like to hear it.
Would you? See, now, see, that's a thing. People, girls and guys, do like to hear stuff like that. Like, they'll come up to say, I've never met anybody like you before.
Yeah, it's like an ego stroke. But, you know, you say that kind of stuff, I feel like, whenever you really love somebody.
I don't think if somebody says that I've never met anyone like you before, they're telling the truth.
Okay, maybe that's not exactly the best thing they could say.
That sounds like a lie to me. Like, I mean, immediately I would go, oh, this person's lying.
There are 8 billion people in the world now. We passed 7 billion. There are 8 billion people in the world now, and you're telling me you haven't met at least one more person like me?
And it's how many times can you be married and divorced before we start to frown on you?
Two.
I guess the second one you get suspicious, and then the third, after the third one, it's just approved.
I've decided to introduce new legislation in Ohio that what should happen is, we'll all give you a pass on your first marriage and divorce, but after the second marriage and divorce, you have to wait as many years as marriages to get married again. So if you've been married and divorced twice, you got to wait 2 years before you can be married a third time. If you get married and divorced 3 times, you got to wait 3 years, you know, and so on and so forth, because I believe those people at some point got to look in the mirror and say, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, no, that's a fair rule.
I've met the one too many times. You know, we were having that conversation with the boy, and then remember the guy in the line walked up and said...
Yeah, there was literally a customer who came through the line and said, I'm on the fourth one now.
I'm on the fourth one. She's the one. Number 4. All right, we got to get to a top 10 list here. It's an interesting conversation to have, though. These are the conversations that people are having at home, and we're having them here. And I think it's fascinating, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, remember tonight's top 10 list out of the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Top 10 reasons why I should be in the who's who of America. What do you think?
I think you should go for it.
Well, we're going to see what happens here. Let's get the drum roll going and run these things down. All right. Well, we almost have to. There is the drum roll. All right. Here we go. Top 10 reasons why I should be in the Who's Who of America. Number 10. He's president of the Phyllis Diller Film Preservation Society. That's true. I am the president of that. I bet you don't know who Phyllis Diller is, do you?
Nope.
Phyllis Diller?
Nope.
No idea. Okay. That's so sad. That makes me feel so old. Number 9. He was the number 2 choice to replace Pat Sajak. Did you know that? I was number 2 to be on Wheel of Fortune, be the host. Number 2, not number 1. Okay. Number 8, his show launches political candidates from mayors to presidents. How many people on this show have announced they're running for mayor, governor, president? They all do it here. The road to the White House goes right through this show. That's how we became friendly with each other. You, a man announced his presidential campaign, and you saw it on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
In the bathroom at work.
Of all things. Number 7, founder of the Fruitcake Toss. That is true. I am the founder of the great Fruitcake Toss that happens every year here in Marion. Top 10 reasons why I should be in the Who's Who of America. Number 6, people should know more about Britney Spears' brother. Probably true. You know, I don't like to talk about her, though. Why did the drum roll stop? Okay, there we go. Number 5. Oh, this will be... He propelled Adam the Computer Guy to superstar status. Yes, I was the one. I'll take your blame and I'll take your compliment. Number 4. He has led the international search for Lighty Boy's dog collar. That is true. $5,000 if you find Lighty Boy's dog collar right from this show. Okay, number 3. He's Mary Ellen Withrow's best friend. I bet people don't know that Mary Ellen Withrow and I, you know, she's been over for cookouts, and we've been to the root beer stand together, and she's swept my floors and the whole thing. It's a thing, me and Mary Ellen Withrow. That's true. Top 10 reasons why I should be in the Who's Who of America. Number 2, he's Marion's most popular export. I guess. Let's say so. And the number 1 reason why I should be in the Who's Who of America, he's the first inductee into the Upper Crust Society. That is true. I have a pizza crust somewhere with my name on it. Upper Crust Society. So those are the reasons why I should be in the Who's Who of America. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, some of those are pretty good.
You've been up and down the road for all those things.
I have.
Yeah, and you were there. You weren't there when Mary Ellen swept my floor, were you?
I just got there after she got it.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I still have nightmares about that. What do you think, Matt?
I think you should go and get in the book.
You met Mary Ellen at a cookout of mine, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good time, wasn't it?
It was.
I throw a good cookout.
She made, was it potato salad or macaroni salad?
That was macaroni salad.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Were you surprised to show up at a cookout at my house and here is Treasurer of the United States?
I think you told me she was going
to
be there.
I wanted to introduce you. Yeah, but she wasn't sweeping the floors that day, was she? No. That was the whole nightmarish thing. What do you think, Carrington?
Yeah, I think those are great reasons. Do they list why you're in there? Like they say,
yeah,
Scott Spears and then something beside it?
A paragraph.
A whole paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay, you can fit a lot of those. I was going to say,
did you
only
know all
get one. Oh, no.
You didn't realize you were dealing with such greatness here, did you?
No, I thought you were just the radio host.
Now you really admire me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody called me a disc jockey earlier, and I didn't really care for that. Disc jockey's a whole nother thing. Oh, you know what we did not do tonight? We, you know, because I feel every so often we need a little pep in this show.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
Oh,
here we go.
Yeah,
pour myself a cup of that rich Folgers aroma. The best part of weekend. That's where they get really going. It's the doo-wop, doo-wop in all I do. The mountain goat aroma always coming through.
For me, oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Now, that's Rockapella doing the Folgers commercial. We played that many times on the air. Years ago, that started on the Adam the Computer Guy show. And as I've said before, I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times, they're just a little too happy about coffee.
I agree.
But you bopped to that, Carrington.
Yeah, I bopped to that.
You've missed this show just hearing that song, right?
Yeah, I can't believe you guys have been playing it still. I thought everyone hated it except for me.
No! Well, it's sort of a love-hate relationship we have with that song. A little love-hate. Now, you mentioned last time you were here that you sang.
I don't think I did.
Was I here that night? Maybe I took that night off.
Yeah, I don't think that was
didn't
me.
Didn't Carrington say she sang? Or was that somebody else we had in here? Is that somebody else we ran in?
It might have been Emily.
Was it Emily?
Maybe.
Okay. Do you remember this?
I can't.
Nobody ever did sing, but I thought you said you sang.
Not a singer, unfortunately.
Really?
No.
You don't, like, sing the Taylor Swift? You're not bopping at the concerts?
No, I'm bopping at the concerts. I'm bopping with her vocals over mine and me quieter than her.
No, you sang a Taylor Swift song when you were here last time. You did.
I think I sang a little bit of our song, if I remember.
Yeah, sing a little bit of that again.
No, we already sang that. Why do we need to hear it again? The people are tired of
people
me singing.
People love that song.
It's Somebody else should sing it.
Well, Matt sings our jingle. Go ahead, Matt. Sing our jingle.
WWGH. The Marion, Ohio talking place. Any topic, we don't care. We will discuss it while on air.
That was great.
See, I think that's great.
I wrote that myself.
Wow.
He wrote that himself.
Yeah.
Can you learn that?
Yeah, give me a couple weeks.
Okay, work on that.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
We haven't scared you away yet, have we?
No.
This is what we're worried about.
No, it's very comfortable.
Okay, I'm glad you're comfortable. We want you to be... That is my main goal, is that you are comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
Okay,
it's not as hot in here this week. I'm not sure what you guys did.
That's right. You knocked the heat. We turned an air conditioner on.
You did.
We did. That's all it took.
I'm thankful.
We did that just for you. Okay, the final topic this week. Do you ever really know why people like you? Is it phony? I'm not talking about relationships here. It could be that. But I'm just talking about people in general. Do you ever really know why somebody likes you, like a friend? Do we ever really tell people how we feel about them? Do we always wait for a funeral or a retirement party? Or do we really tell people how we feel about them? I don't think we do.
I don't think we do either. I think a lot of the times people don't even really know why they like the person they do. They just kind of do.
See, I post it on Facebook. You know, because I feel that that's a good forum for me to tell other people why I like somebody, and that way it doesn't come off phony because nobody's pressuring me to do that. And I don't use androgynous terms like they're great, they're special. You know, I don't do that. I tell exactly why I like the person.
I don't think posting on Facebook that you like somebody is a good move because I think if you post on Facebook that you like somebody or that something's going like so great or something like that,
yeah, people think you know that's a lie and they're about to fall apart.
It's the exact opposite. It's a struggle.
Yeah. Well, but I'm not relationship wise. I agree with you, but I'm talking about friends. Like if I will compliment, I say this person's doing a great job. This person is really coming along. This person is that sort of thing.
Why don't you just tell them that?
Well, because if I just tell them, then they know, and other people don't realize that they are coming along. You know, it's more of a promotion thing. I'm promoting them.
Okay.
Okay. Sean, what do you think? Do we tell people, or do we wait for the funeral or the retirement party?
No, I mean, I think people should... You know, it's weird, because I think I'm going to have one... What they call it? Awake? I'm going to be till I'm dead, you know? And
don't wait very long. You won't have to pretend.
No, and I'm going to see how many people come to my funeral. I'm going to be awake. I'm going to be hiding away, you know. I'm going to see how many people come to my funeral.
Have you ever seen the episode of Friends where Ross does that?
Yeah, yes.
And it didn't go well?
It didn't go well.
No, it didn't.
Why do you want to know who's going to come to your funeral? You'll be dead.
No, I'll be alive, but...
No, but you're dead for the real one.
Yeah.
Who cares?
This one is to see how many people come.
I don't believe in a funeral. I don't want people seeing me dead. That's the only fear that I have.
Well, have a closed casket.
No, I don't want any casket. I don't want any of that. I don't want to be around. I don't want to be any... No, nothing.
You're going to have a casket where you can be buried.
I'll have a casket, but I don't want anybody to see that. I just want, you know, put me in the thing quickly as possible, bury me, don't tell anybody, done. I don't like the whole idea of that. I mean, why would I want you around when I'm dead? You know, I mean, honest to God, I'm dead.
Well, you know what we're going
to
do? We're going to haul your body around like they did James Brown.
No, people don't want that. People don't want to see the body going
all around
town.
All around me.
I don't like any of that. I don't like graveside things. And now people have those cameras and they'll snap a picture of you dead. Who needs that going around for eternity? Carrington, do we tell people how we feel?
We got really off top topic.
Listen, somebody's going to fake their death over here. Somebody's going to fake their death.
That was the original topic. It definitely depends on the person. I think that my friends and I do a great job of telling each other how we feel.
Like, what do you tell your friends?
I give them compliments whenever they do things that I like. Like, I have this one friend who loves to sing and dance. Like, whenever it'll be quiet, and then she just starts doing a little song and dance, and it's so cute, and I'll tell her that.
But you want to step on her toes because you can't sing or dance.
I don't want to step on her toes. I don't want to sing and dance. I am not jealous.
Okay.
If I wanted to, I would just do it poorly.
Well, but I don't think as a society we do this very well.
I agree. I think people are lacking. They can learn from me and my friends.
And take notes from you and your friends. Because you're doing it right and the rest of us are idiots.
Yeah, if the shoe fits, wear it.
There you go. No, I think it's true, though. And I think there's a little fear in it for a lot of people because I don't want to open myself up to tell you that I think you're great. But big deal. You know, you don't have to think I'm great for me to think you're great. That's what's wrong with society. We have a reciprocal society that you have to think I'm great or I can't think you're great. Well, that's nonsense.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, well, man, we all agree on something. We might as well shut the show down right now. We're going to put a fork in this thing. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Remember, 238 and gas at Motomart on Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. Motomart on Center Street. It's going to be a big deal. And that person will be on the show again Monday morning, Donovan. I, though, think that in general, what in society we've got to do a better job of is telling people why they matter, because I think a lot of suicides, a lot of people who are ostracized and depressed don't really know that anybody cares.
Definitely. I think that's the main reason people decide to take their life.
That people just think, hey, you know, nobody cares, and people are generally phony, because people can be phony in a way.
Oh, yeah.
People can come off and say, well, you know, I think it's good sometime to ask somebody, now, why do you like me? What's the reason? That sounds a little strange, but, you know, see if they can give you a real answer. See if they can tell you why they like you, you know, and not use those androgynous terms like, you know, oh, you're great, you're special, you're this, you're that. Cite specific things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. What do you think, Matt?
Site-specific thing.
Yeah, because I think at some point you need to know why people are there. Are they just there, like, schmoozing you? Are they there? Why are they there?
Most of the people I talk to I met at work.
That's a bad thing to do.
No.
Are
they?
You think they're true friends to you?
Yeah, like, all of my best friends I met at Kroger.
That's nice.
Besides one. I've known him since, like, kindergarten.
I try, when I'm there, to talk to people, but that's about it. We don't have meaningful long-term relationships, me and the Kroger group. I like them. They're okay.
This guy quiet is.
I'm just saying, God bless them. May they go. You know, I've never thought about hanging out with them outside of work, like, you know, doing something.
I've hung out with a few of them outside of work.
That's fine. I just think we all dip in different pools, and that just wouldn't be my pool to dip in, because I just can't see anybody there, you know. I feel like, for some of those people, I need to be paid to be around them.
Oh, yeah, we've all got those coworkers.
You know, and sometimes it's not enough what they're paying you to be around those people. Because they're a lot of... But I do like... I mean, really, you work at places like that. In general, everywhere you work is because of the people. You got to like the people. If you don't like the people, why are you there?
That is fair.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here. Straighten all that stuff out. So should we tell people that why they matter?
Yeah, I think that's so easy to do. I mean, maybe just because I'm paying attention to it, but it's just easy. You know, in the moment, somebody does something and it makes you smile, just tell them. You know, and that's more sincere, too, because you're not saying... You're great, and you're so nice, you know? Because I agree, those kind of compliments do seem a little empty. So, just in the moment, if you see something, you know, say something. Be like, hey, I like how you do that. I like this. I like that.
But do you think it's good to compliment people on anything physical? Like, you're dressed very nice today. Your hair looks nice. You know, that sort of thing, I think, can come off a little phony. Because that's something you... I mean, what is that, style? I don't really know what that falls under.
I don't think that's phony, because why did you go out of your way to compliment that if it's not something that caught your attention?
Because you're not going to say bad stuff. You're not going to say, boy, you're dressed like a gypsy. You know, you're not going to say that, because that's going to... Bad stuff.
You don't have to say anything, then.
Yeah, but I feel there's a need sometimes to tell people that they look like a gypsy, because they really shouldn't be dressing that way.
But why does it matter to you?
Well, I just fear for them. I fear for them that somewhere along the line somebody's going to realize they're dressed like a gypsy, and it's going to be bad for them. And I don't want to get their feelings hurt.
That's their problem. I think if they're comfortable and they like it, to each their own.
Yeah, but I feel I should jump in and hurt, you know, kind of soften the blow for people.
Yeah, but they didn't ask for you to do that, so I think
well, they
kind of...
They don't have to. I'll do it for free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll let them know for free.
And they'll take it how they want to for free.
Well, if they want... I mean, I understand that this might bring some anger, but I think they should understand the truth in the statement that I'm telling them, you know? I would do the same. You know, they could do the same with me. I'd be okay with it.
So it's just observational statements, like you're going to say, you look like a gypsy today.
Yeah, I'd say, hey, you know, did your parents used to go from city to city? Yeah, you look a little like a gypsy today.
As long as they're objective statements, you know, and you're just saying, hey, that's an observation, because as soon as you start saying you like it or dislike it, that's kind of more of a personal opinion.
Was your aunt in the circus? You know, kind of open it up that way, and then you get the ball rolling a little bit with that person. You know what I'm saying, Matt?
Yeah.
You would tell somebody, what did you say when you broke up with your girlfriend, the famous line?
I told her that she had the brain capacity of a goldfish.
Beautiful. That's a nice way to part ways. Brain capacity of a goldfish.
Wow.
Yeah, whew. And you think I'm mean.
Honesty.
Wow. That's terrible.
It was honest.
Why'd you date her then?
Because she was nice and she was funny, but then I realized that she was funny because she had the brain capacity of a goldfish.
You were laughing at her, not with her.
Well, originally it was with her, and then it was at her, and then I was like, man, no.
I feel bad for the poor dear. I know that girl. I don't know her well, but I know her. I saw her the other day. She said hello. Well, it was something like hello. She didn't speak very well, but I thought it was hello.
I mean, she...
Could be the whole goldfish thing, really. I don't... I tried to speak to her, but...
I mean, she talks to me when she sees me.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's an interesting way to part tonight. Can you stay friends with somebody who's been in your past? You say yes.
Yeah.
You've only had one, and the one is still in your life. You're going to go fishing with her or something, right?
No, probably not.
What's that story, quick?
A party. She told me there was a party.
And you're going to go to a party that you've been invited to by your ex-girlfriend.
If I can fish.
And she's the only person you'll know there.
I'm not going to talk to her. I'm going to fish in the pond that is at the party place.
Yeah, I wish you could see Carrington's face right now. That was a bad face. Now, Carrington, what's the problem with that?
You're going to go to a party where you don't know anyone except for your ex-girlfriend that you don't talk to anymore just to fish?
Yeah.
There's ponds without your ex-girlfriend
at
these parties.
Yeah, but, like, I don't have to talk to any of those people. And besides, nobody fishes there. So, the fish are more likely to just bite my hook because they don't have, like, the muscle memory of being like, if I eat this, it could just, you know, snag me.
Yeah, but you've got to hang out with your ex-girlfriend that you don't talk to. That just doesn't seem worth it. Just a fish.
Worst comes to worst, I just walk around the pond.
Hey,
the other side,
if that's what you want to do.
Okay, Carrington, can you stay friends with any of those people who dropped you? Can you stay friends with them?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Even though they dropped you?
Yeah.
You don't harbor?
Nope.
Okay, well, and like, do you go to their ponds and fish?
Yeah, I go to their lake and I boat.
Yeah. Well, what do you do with people? What do you do?
With my ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
Well, we're in a friend group together, so I, you know,
What's a friend group?
A group of people that are all friends, so we hang out in a group setting.
Okay.
Wait, yeah, what do you mean?
I never heard it called a friend group.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
Like, we're friends. That's a friend group?
Yeah, we have a group.
Like a group of friends.
There's a group chat.
A group of friends that hang out with each other is just a friend group.
Yes.
Okay. That seems like a lot of work. I don't know. My friends, we'll go out. That's it. It's a friend group.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have the go-tos that you're going to invite every time?
Like to what?
You said you're going out somewhere, like... You've got your group that you're going to text or, you know, you want to do something. Who are you going to be like, hey, you guys want to do this together?
I don't think it's anybody. No, I mean, different people for different things, because I think, you know, certain people are good in certain settings and other people aren't. So yeah. I think it's just depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, we just invite everybody to everything.
But that's
basically.
Not awkward to be with the ex-boyfriend.
No.
Why did the ex-boyfriend break up with you?
Well, we broke up in ninth grade.
Oh, it's been a while.
So it's been a while.
It's been a minute.
we just weren't seeing eye to eye anymore.
Okay, so it was just a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sean, can you be friends with somebody from your past?
I think you can, but it's very hard.
Because?
Because you had feelings for that person.
Maybe. Would it be hard to see them with somebody else?
Probably.
Probably? Matt, I mean, if you saw this girl with somebody else?
I doubt it. If you already like dropped her, bro. I don't see why you would be upset with her being with somebody else.
Carrington?
Yeah, I don't think it would necessarily hurt if you're truly over it.
All right. Okay. Well, but are you... I don't know. If you're ever truly over it, I think you get over it quickly. I'm over it about 10 minutes before it ends. And then I think it's really easy to get over it. So, what have we learned tonight? Matt, what have we learned?
We learned that... we covered a lot of ground tonight. We did.
We covered the ball field tonight.
We learned that there's a possibility that we are involved with the Marion Harding... Sorry, the Warren G. Harding clip.
We pushed around the Marion Star.
Yeah.
We leaned on the Marion Star heavy. So we might have a place in that. What have you learned tonight, Sean?
I learned that President Harding is not going to have a statue here anytime soon.
Okay, well, you never know. Hope springs eternal. Carrington, it's so good to have you back. What have you learned?
I learned how to ward off a bear tonight. Go away, bear.
Go away, bear. That's all you have to stomp your feet. Don't forget to stomp your feet.
Stomp your feet.
It's been a fascinating night, and we'll all be back next week together and have a lot of fun and discussing who... I think Matt will be dead probably before next week because you've picked the fight. I think that person's going to come looking for you. I think this whole thing about titles, you really shouldn't die on the mountain for that. That's my advice. But
look, okay, like I said earlier, the part about the titles, I'll secede. I'll give you that one. But the whole respecting your elders just because they're your elders. I'll die on that mountain.
Okay, well, it's going to be interesting when she comes. I didn't realize you knew Abby.
I don't know her personally. I know of her because I've seen her at football games.
Oh, okay. And you said, well, that was during the break. I'm not going to bring that up. But you said something about her. I don't want to stir that pot any further. But you know what you said.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want to, you know. You remember what you said about her?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Now you know. Yeah, we won't say that on the air. You'll save that for the debate if it gets a little heated, right? Then you'll go for that. Yeah. All right. Well, for all of us here at WGH Radio, we certainly thank everybody for coming along with us tonight on the ride. I'll be back Monday morning starting at 8:15 a.m., and we'll have a big week next week. Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson here tonight and back next Friday. We appreciate it. For all of us at WGH Radio, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
For mayor to give you a choice in a city and state that has increasingly become controlled by one party, which leads to a lack of honesty and transparency. I promise you that as your mayor, I will continue to listen and grow the city as Mayor Schertzer has done for his four terms in office. This year, with low turnout expected, I need your vote and the votes of your friends. Please support me, Glenn Coble for mayor, on November 7th.
Hi, this is Pastor Craig. Join me every Friday at 11:15 a.m., and I'm going to fill you in on what's going on around Marion. The show is What's Happening Marion, and I'll be bringing